Today I want to now properly begin that series I said I was going to be teaching, which I titled The Doctrine of the Appointed Time. And today we are going to start by reading from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That's where we'll set out from, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read two portions of Ecclesiastes. Then the other one we know very well. We'll read chapter 9 verse 11, but let's start from chapter 3, which you also know very well. Then we'll read a few other portions, then we'll continue to teach. I'll read from verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It said, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event or delight under heaven." Then it says, "There is a time to give birth, a time to die." Please, because it's long, I will jump a bit. You'll see me skipping. "A time to kill, time to heal, time to tear down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to throw stones," that's verse 5, "and time to gather stones." And it continued on and on. Let's continue verse 8. "A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." And that said in verse 9, "What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves." He said in verse 11, "He has made everything appropriate or beautiful in its time." Please notice that. He has made everything beautiful or appropriate in its time. "He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them, that is men, than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor." He said, "It is the gift of God." Now, before I read the next one, please look up for a moment. Let me explain something to you, please. Now, there's something that happens once in a while in the scriptures. If you look closely, you see certain things are in parentheses, you know. That is, they are supposed to be in brackets. They are just short explanations to make the thing easier, all right, to understand. Now, for example, if you go to the book of John chapter 1, I've explained that one before. It said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You understand? "And the Word became flesh." Somewhere along the line, he now began to tell you about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was actually in parentheses, all right? He now went down to tell you, "And the Word became flesh." That is, jump everything I said about John the Baptist. I'm just qualifying for you that this was the person who introduced the Word. So if you are reading the book of John, let me just quickly show us the very verses. Don't bother opening to it. I'm going back to the one I'm teaching on right now. I just want to quickly show us something there, just to help you understand the Bible when you are reading. Certain portions are in parentheses. So from verse 1, it says, "It was in the beginning with God." Verse 2, "All things came into being by him." Then to verse 5, it says, "The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it." In verse 6, and I said, "There came a man from God, whose name was John. He described John the Baptist and everything he did," up to verse 13. Then it continued in verse 14 and says, "The Word became flesh." Are you getting my point? Actually, this is what you see there. "In the beginning was the Word," and all of that, down to verse 5. "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The next line should be, "And the Word became flesh." Are you getting the point? Everything about John is in brackets, in parentheses, like the Englishman would say. Do you follow my point? That is just inserted there to help you understand what he's talking about. It's not part of the main context of what is going on. Do you understand my logic? Okay. Now, having understood that, let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that we're reading. And you see the same thing appearing there. In chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven." Then from verse 2 is in parenthesis, trying to just explain, give illustrations concerning what he's talking about. And that ends in verse 8. So this is what we are supposed to be reading. "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven." The next line, verse 9. "What profit is there, therefore, to the worker from that in which he toils?" Please, let me explain that, all right? We'll read it again further. Now, so what was Solomon saying here? That there is a time, an appointed time for everything. He now gave an instance. He says, there is a time to sow and a time to reap. Now, please, let me explain something to you here. The way we interpret it most times is that let's do the thing that is right at the right time. And listen to me, that is correct, all right? That is very correct. But that was not exactly what Solomon was saying. Solomon was explaining, all right, that you do not dictate the time to sow. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That the time to sow was set in place before you showed up. His emphasis was on the fact that time was appointed. That's why he went therefore to verse 9 to say, so what profit, what is it that men gain from laboring to bring things to pass when the time for those things were determined before they were born? Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say it to you again. Solomon said, in effect, there is an appointed time for everything. That everything you see on the surface of the earth, God determined from time that that thing was going to happen in that season. Therefore, he was now wondering, because he was considering the things happening on the earth. He said, so what is the advantage that men labor to bring things to pass? I'll give you an example. I'll come to that example later. I want to use Nigeria as an example. Africa as a nation, all right? Issues there, amen? And listen, I have talked to people before. They say, why are black men like this? I say, it's spiritual. And as I go on, I'll explain it. I discovered that a certain people, like the black people on the African continent, a certain group of people like that was determined by God that they must exist. And the reason is what the Bible calls for the demonstration of his righteousness. Please, I'll try and be as simple as possible, yet try and explain everything very well. Now, there are two sides to life. Let me quickly explain that to you. Shall I use the economic terminology? There's macroeconomics and there's microeconomics. You know what that means? For those of you who know. So there's also macro spiritual things and the micro spiritual things. What do I mean? There is the overall picture of what God is doing. And then there is the individual participation in God's overall agenda. Listen to me. God's overall agenda, you, me, nobody can alter it. Nobody. The only thing you alter is your participation in it. That's all. That God needed a Judas was determined before Israel was called. I don't know what I get my point. Who will be the Judas is the one that all of us can be saying, no, be me. No, you want to be Judas? You're on your own. No. You want to be a Judas? Me, I won't be a Judas. But that there will be a Judas who will betray the Lord Jesus Christ was determined before the foundation of this earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I'm talking about the appointed time. Anyway, let's read our scriptures, all right? Then I'll be able to explain these things further. When we finish reading, so I won't have to interrupt. Quickly, the next one, let's just read this one to complete it. Ecclesiastes still, verse 11 of chapter 9. He said, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors or to the strong, and neither is bread to the wise. That is, they don't make all the money, the fact that they are wise. Nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, that doors don't open for you just because you are smart. Nor is it for time and chance I discovered overtake them all. I will explain that again. We've talked about this a number of times. But the one I want to read again before I leave it is, two more. Let's read everything, please. Two more. Hebrews chapter 11, we know that very well. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith, he says, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. Verse 3 is where I really want to read. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that that which is seen was not made out of that which was visible. Please note that. Alright? So that which is seen was not made out of things which are visible. I'd like to just read that in the Amplified. And you see the way he says it there. And it's so beautiful. It actually properly explains what I'm talking about. Just listen to this. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds, are you getting my point? during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Again, please, I'll refer to this. Let's just read the last one I said we should read, then I can start talking. Psalm 75. I was thinking to myself, why do I want to explain all of these things in all the details I'm going to go on in this season? At the end, I said, well, at least let's understand how God works. But most importantly, so that we'll stop our own labors and labor according to what God wants us to do. There's a book which I recommend that everybody should read. I don't sell it. I don't know the author. I read the book and it blessed me. It's titled Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. That book is a very nice way to explain some of the things I'm talking about. You know what Solomon said in that's Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that we read? He said that time and chance happen to all men. In that book, Malcolm Gladwell explained in simple terms that Bill Gates was not necessarily smarter than other people. So that's why he became as rich as he became. No. He showed, if you go and read the book, you'll see it, that he was born at a time when things like that were about to manifest. How many of you know of Clarus? Green Gori. Remember? Aha. You know of all those people. The other day they were doing who deserves to be a millionaire, and they put Samanja there. There was a time, I think it was Clarus, that they put on who deserves to be a millionaire. You can be sure, you can't put Genevieve, tell her to sit down, and say she's the one who deserves to be a millionaire. No, she's already a millionaire. She can now play who wants to be a millionaire for who deserves to be a millionaire. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? Is she more talented than those Christian Igbokwe of those days? I don't believe she is. I don't believe she is. It's just the season in which she came into the acting stage in Nigeria. Segun Odegbami played more football, as far as I'm concerned, than JJ Okocha. But he did not come into the scene when kicking balls were any hundreds of millions of naira on a monthly basis. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The other day, when I first came to Enugu, I went out with, my mechanic was testing my car. So we drove up somewhere. He said, move, go, park. So I parked. I said, what's going on? He parked in front of a man, and he said, that is Emmanuel Okala. Some of you are too young to remember Emmanuel Okala. I mean, those were the goalkeepers, you know, of those days. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? Now, did they make money like these other people, young men of these days? No, they did not. Because they are not talented, forget it. They had the talent. They had the talent. But the season in which they played football in Nigeria, you had to be a civil servant to be able to eat. Segun Odegbami had to go and read engineering to be able to do some engineering and be able to feed himself. Yet he was the skipper for the national team. That is, JJ Okocha cannot say he's better than those men of those days. And that's why he made so much money. No, it's just the season in which he came to life and he began to play football. I said to you something some time ago, that no pastor in Nigeria today should think it's because he has sense that he's gathering crowd in his church. Hear it. That's the mistake we make. We want to go to South Korea and go and learn how to build 1 million man churches. I explained to you, I have read enough to know, Yonggi Cho does not know how to build 1 million man churches. He does not know. The kingdom of God is like a man that sows seed. He himself does not know how. The earth by itself brings forth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes we sit down, we try to pretend like we know how. That's what we do. We try to pretend. I have read most of the tricks, in quotes now, you know, spiritual principles for church growth. And I have seen people who break every one of them. Eh? And the church is, the number is just jumping. You must know how to connect with your audience. Some people only come to insult their audience. The audience will be back next Sunday. 100,000 of them. You see, you know what edifies. I have been to a church that all they do is criticize. They condemn you, condemn the nation, condemn everything about you, condemn your clothes, condemn the way you think. At the end of the day, next Sunday, you see everybody, they are back. I have seen people who all they do is tell lies. Next Sunday, 10,000 people will show up. There are people I watch and say, God, what's up? That is, why are you allowing this? The multitude will still show up. The race is not to the swift. Are you getting my point? He says, it's because they pray. Did you pray like the SU people of those days? There are pastors who don't pray any prayer. Just cross their leg and eat suya. The Lord is good. What am I saying? That the results you see outwardly, they are basically determined by the season of life that we are in. 6 weeks ago, Mubarak, the other Tunisian man, all of them were sitting gidigba on their throne. Even CIA did not suspect that Mubarak was less than 3 weeks away from the end of his tenure. They did not suspect. One young man, something, Mohamed Bouazizi or something, started the whole problems. Policeman arrested him for selling fruits in a cart without license. And he was so frustrated, he poured petrol on himself and set himself on fire. And that fire has caused a civil war in Libya, which is raging right now. A few days later, they kicked out the head of state of Tunisia. 18 days after, the one of Egypt was gone. And next in Yemen, he said, is it easy to do it? They began. Right now, there are protests in Saudi Arabia. Even CIA did not suspect that this was going to happen. When communism collapsed, let me tell you the truth. The day Nigeria will just turn around there, you will say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Nigeria, I'm telling you, with all the prayer you have prayed, you'll still be shocked. People say, it's because you don't have faith. It's not true. There's a way God will answer prayers. They were praying, Lord, James is dead. They want to kill Peter too. Release Peter, amen. Release Peter, amen. Release Peter, amen. Release Peter, amen. We call Peter back out of jail. Peter, you shall be delivered. Peter, you shall be delivered. You will not die now. You will not die now. In the name of Jesus. Then Peter knocked. They told one young woman called Rhoda, go and check who is there. Rhoda came and said, it is Peter. He said, you decrease. They were just firing heaven for Peter. It's not their fault. You don't blame them. What they expected was that next day, they didn't know God will act that night. They thought maybe next day, Nero will come out and say, you Christians, make taking a time off. I will give this your Peter one more chance. Your Peter, go. That's what they thought. They didn't know that as they were praying. One angel went there, kicked Peter, wake up. Iron doors opened by themselves. And Peter came to there. They didn't know. What is going on currently in today's Arab world, I'm sure nobody understands. Nobody. Nobody. And for the Libyans, they thought, the way it went in Tunisia. And in Egypt, if you come out like that in Libya, Gaddafi said, let me warn you. His son came on air, so he said, this is not Tunisia. And this is not Egypt. This is Libya. He thought the boy was joking. You know what is going on right now. They're not saying no fly zone, no mosquito zone. Are you sorry? If there's no fly, maybe there's no mosquito. Let us say there's no fly zone. What is name? Barack Obama said, yes, America is ready to impose a no-fly zone. Robert Gates, their defense secretary, said, let me warn you, once we say no-fly zone, that is invasion of Libya. We first have to bomb their strategic defense systems. They may not be much, but they are effective. Let me warn you, but Obama said, we are ready once he starts dropping bombs on defenseless civilians. Then CNN will show you that all the civilians are carrying guns. That is, you know what that tells you? As long as it's a war, we ain't going. You can't just predict what is going on. And as that today, Gaddafi don't push guys. Come on, Roma, and then move back. If the war does not do anything, in a few weeks, you end the rebellion. What I'm saying is that you don't know what is going on. That's what I'm going to explain. But this is interesting, but listen to me. I said there's a macro side to what God is doing. A few years ago, many years ago, not just a few years ago, actually once, I listened to this man, Ken Copeland. I listened to this tape in 1991, 92. He preached the tape, I think, in the early 80s or late 70s. All right? Now, but that was about 10 years before, was when he released a message on intercession. Then he described a vision that he saw in that tape of a giant snake, which he knew represented communism. And the snake was big and it was terrible. And everybody was afraid of it. Then one hand came from heaven. Are you getting me? And cut the snake to pieces. And then the head of the snake looked back and saw that he had been cut to pieces. Do you get my point? And then the pieces of his body disappeared. And that's the end of the vision. This is the interesting part. I listened to that message, I think, late 91 or early 92. And anyway, he gave an interpretation. And when he gave the interpretation, I told myself that no, that doesn't make sense. Because he said clearly that the Lord did not tell him what that vision meant. But this is what he thinks. That he thinks that great doors are going to open. And we are going to go into communist countries. Are you getting my point? Win a lot of souls. And the disappearance of the body of the snake to him was a picture of the rapture. When he finished, I said, sir, that doesn't make sense. That what is going to happen is that God is cutting, because you must understand that the head of the body of Christ is Christ Jesus, right? So his body is the earthly part of him. So the spiritual head of that, the head of that snake is a spiritual being. The body is communism on the earth. So I said, no, what God is going to do is to break up communism like this. And that would then, suddenly the thing will end. Now, you may say, Pastor Bank, you had insight. No, I was hearing this many years after he preached it. By then, world events had made it easier for me to believe that communism was coming to an end. Should I tell you a few years before that? In 1987 precisely. All right? One brother still preached in my fellowship how the end of the world will come. One of the things he said will happen is that America will become a communist country. Because then Russia was powerful. And as everybody was afraid of them, this is what I'm saying, the divine plan of God was that the whole thing will soon come to an end. You know, today Islam is very powerful. Let me tell you a prophecy that I think was Duncan Williams that gave it many years ago. That the Lord said there are three things he's going to bring an end to on this earth quickly. Number one, he said, was communism. That one is gone. The next on the line, he said, was Islam. And the third one, he called it witchcraft. This is the interesting part. Somebody said, what do you mean by witchcraft? I know what that means. It has to do with institutionalized Christianity. I won't say more than that. Listen, these are divinely planned and divinely being orchestrated matters. Are you getting what I'm saying? He planned it from long ago, and now he's bringing them to pass. And it has nothing to do with you and I. That's why I said the worlds were framed. World referred to ages. He didn't talk about the earth. The worlds were framed by the word of God. People tell me that Americans know how to plan their country. That's why they are so strong. No, they are strong, all right, because God ordained that a nation that will be made up of nations will arise and tabernacle here. Therefore, there's nobody that will say I'm an American. The real Native Americans, all right, are amongst the smallest of the minorities in the country. And they are amongst the least educated, the least developed. God brought aliens from everywhere. Until today, he's moving aliens there. Barack Obama's father, their current president, was born in Kenya and died in Kenya. He only went to America to school. In that process, he married a young girl. and she gave birth to this current president, and he went back home, that the counsel of God may be fulfilled. That's what I mean by the appointed time. God knows what he's doing. Many years ago, I was listening to Miles Monroe. And I've heard it too. I've heard Christians throw unnecessary tantrums concerning the move of atheism, concerning the move of Islam, concerning the move of New Age, concerning the move of this and that, and say that Christians have to beware. As I laugh, I say, listen. Anyway, Miles Monroe said it like this. He said, that what's all the kicking about? He said, go and read the end of the book. All of these people you are mentioning, they are not there. What's the end of the book? Revelation. That the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. From Saudi Arabia to the hearts of China. He said, kiss the son lest he be angry. And no matter who you are, you will perish out of the way. You know the prophecies I always give about the Middle East? I told you that God didn't show me in a vision. But I read the scriptures and I know, listen to me, tell everybody. Anybody who declares that Christians are his problem on this earth, he, his children are cursed. And the curse of God being in their home will ruin everything they build, no matter how much they used to build it. Babylon was great, formidable. But God gave a prophecy to Jeremiah. He said, go and say to Isaiah, write these things down, throw this scroll to the bottom of the Euphrates, and say, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Babylon went down and never rose again. There's nothing. I see people, Christians, say, ah, you know, Muslims are so strong. I say, you don't know the God you serve. You don't know the God you serve. The day his purpose will have been accomplished, whew, that's all he will do. People will vanish. You know, for some time, I've heard this before several times. In fact, today, my wife and I spoke, I think, about it yesterday night. A friend of mine called me again this morning. We're talking about the problem in Japan. Earthquake struck in Japan. In case you don't know how powerful that earthquake is, they say it's the fifth most powerful earthquake to have struck this earth in the last 100 years. Measuring 8.9 on the Richter scale. Forget it, you may not know who's Richter or what scale. You know you have never felt a tremor, so you don't know what those things mean. So let's say things you can understand. That when they put all the earthquakes that have happened on this earth in the last 100 years together, this one measured, it was number 5 on the list. Tells us that it's probably worse than the one that tackled Haiti last year. Or was it the year before? No, time flies. I told my wife, see tsunami. 10-meter high tsunami. As technologically powerful as Japan is, the problem now is that two of their nuclear power stations are threatening to melt down. I was listening, was it yesterday night, that they've had to release radioactive steam into the air just to keep the pressure down. If we have said that Japanese people are this, they are that. Listen, no matter who you are, if God does in your direction, vanish like smoke. I told you when God is ready, even if he didn't want to do it, I've said it so much, he will do it. He will send Buja Arab into the center of the ocean just to prove that 2 billion pounds don't mean anything. It's the icon of the Middle East. God said, watch me, watch me. Look for one short angel. They call it, knock it down. The angel will take her and do practice golf. Call the angelic club. Vroom! In his season, everybody, everyone, are you hearing me? That rises against the knowledge of Christ is coming down. No matter what it is he believes in. He said, the earth is the Lord's. And all the oil in Saudi Arabia. Let me tell you something. God leaves enemies. I was reading the book of Judges this morning. And in the interesting book of Judges, it was written that these are the people that God did not destroy so as to keep the children of Israel on edge. So that anytime they misbehave, God will, you know, use them. And God said, no, I won't wipe them out so as to keep people in check. And I said, that there are things that you should pray you'll never be in life. Stop being, when God wanted to tempt Job, they destroyed his servants as temptation for Job. Can you imagine? Are they not human beings? Men with wives and children were killed so as to tempt another man. So I told God, please, oh, anything you like, do with me, but don't use me to tempt anybody. I must not be an instrument of temptation to another man. Let me be the one that's been tempted. You won't kill me to tempt somebody. No. I hate her. I said, God, I must be important. I must be important. David sinned and 70,000 people died. He did not die. Ha. I said, God, no, this one is not agreeable with me. My name must be David. Yes. I will please you in such a manner that when you want to punish me directly. You get my point? When I offend you, knock me on the head. I will accept it. But that I will be suffering knock on the head because somebody else in his palace. I said, that one. I'm not agree. Anyway, that's just by the way. What's the point I'm making? A lot of the people you are shouting about on the earth, all right? They are just there as tools, as pawns in the hands of God to fulfill the promises and the disciplines he has for his church. Listen, I have never understood you say that. Who's the richest man in the world? I told those things don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. They have no meaning. They listed Aliko Dangote last week as the richest man in Africa. And someone said, I said, listen, I told my wife, he borrowed all this money in the last 3 years. I'm not joking. I don't use it. I'm not saying that to make him look small. No. I'm not at all. God knows. All right? In fact, my wife went to the airport. She was telling me something. I said, listen, this man, I told her who owned the airline she's about to fly. And I said, just 11 years ago, the man, nobody knew him in Nigeria. That all the money he used to make money, all these banks will gather and lend the money to him. Then they will list the business as part of his investments and call him the richest man in Nigeria. That's how this thing is done. Don't worry yourself. Take lessons from them. But most Christians are just, once again, say, I bought a car, amen. Tokumbo cow, you know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. A sinner using America got tired and sold it to a believer, amen. I'm not abusing you. Me too, I have one. I'm just using it to explain something to you, all right? That's just by the way, all right? So that you open your eyes and know how things are supposed to work. Don't just sit down, complacency of fools. You get what I'm saying? We discussed that last Tuesday, or 2 Tuesdays ago, if you were not around, get the tape, all right? I'm just explaining something. So they say, who's the richest man in the world? Don't let that one fool you. Don't let it confuse you. God is not in the race of who's rich or who's not rich. Are you getting my point? No. He said, how can a man who's not a believer be the richest man in the world? God said, listen, that's not important. That you may call him rich, I'm calling him poor. Everybody, rich or poor, they are serving my purpose on the earth. And these people that you are calling rich, listen, they may just be temptation I put there to see who will follow me and who won't follow me. You don't know that? Listen, when Satan wanted to tempt Jesus Christ, he said, see Bill Gates, see Carlos Slim, see these people, I will give you all their money. If you just bow down and worship me, that's how it is. Your riches in the world doesn't mean anything. If Jesus had bowed to Satan, he would have been the richest bobo on the earth that time. That was the deal. Are you following the point I'm making? So I said to God, please, oh, you won't kill me to tempt somebody else. God forbid I won't die now, but if you hear anything bad happen to me, know I'm the one that sinned. That was my agreement with God. You get what I'm saying? Yes. I'm just using all of this to bring out a point. God has an agenda on this earth. Are you getting my point? And all the people shouting and shouting, they are only serving the purpose of God. I mean, I'm sure Mubarak didn't think 2 weeks before that before the riots broke out that he was about to leave the office. He didn't imagine it. He didn't imagine it. He did not imagine it. What am I saying? God has his agenda. Are you getting my point? And listen, in his appointed time, he has said to do some things. Like I was saying to you earlier, Solomon says, seed time, and so he said, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. I discovered that God also puts some things in certain orders. You know, we're analyzing it this morning. James on that Nefebori. They value the amount of money the man collected from wherever. $3 billion. But you know the interesting part? Right now, he can't spend it. Part of this WikiLeaks revelation, he told Americans, let me put down a huge chunk of the money. We used to set up a foundation for developmental projects in Africa, in Nigeria, to be run by Americans, Britons, and some Nigerians. America said, we are not interested. You're going to jail, my guy. So that all men might fear before him. James, in his days, will bribe one man with $15 million in cash just to tell him, don't arrest me. But when God's time came, God said, oh boy, I am arresting you. He did everything finally. You know, when a man starts running to Dubai and he's not a Muslim, you know there's a problem. When a Muslim runs to Saudi Arabia, we understand. When James goes to Dubai, James, not Jibril, James. What does that tell you? God's judgment. He got to Dubai so that they will let him know what they plan to do. They put all his relatives in jail in London first, including his British lawyer. All of them, first put all of them in prison. Say, boy, we are waiting for you. He got to a point, are you getting my point? That money, the money now doesn't have any value. This is just by the way. If you want to pray for bro, pray for Americans. Britons don't know how to jail people. They are nice English people. Just speak and then they leave you alone. When Americans want to jail you, they jail you for life. Bernard Madoff stole money. He's in jail for 95 years. You jail a 75-year-old man for 95 years. Is he Methuselah? Is he Methuselah? When Americans are passing jail sentence, you will laugh. Saw a movie long ago. Sentenced one guy, a drug dealer. He was in a state where they didn't do death penalty. They gave him 2 life imprisonments and a 25-year imprisonment to be served back to back. I said, don't worry, your corpse is going to jail. They first jail the guy. When he dies, they jail the body. When he finished decomposing, the bones will start. Americans, they know how to do it. If they don't want that guy to come out from jail, they know how to do it. They will their sentences don't run concurrently. In Britain, it runs concurrently. In America, no. They give you a 10-count charge on an offense that each one is only 4 years. You are serving 40 years in prison. They know how to do it. They tell you for sending money that doesn't belong to you, 2 years. For allowing it to arrive in a country that does not belong to you, 4 years. For taking part of it to spend in a country that does not belong to you, 3 years. For phoning to order the transaction is wire fraud, 4 years. By the time they finish, I said, oh boy, now only $1,000. So. Oh God, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And what am I trying to say? Listen, this is what happens in Nigeria, and it's, believe me, it's beginning to happen. The season now is that if you like to steal money in Nigeria, steal, no problem, but you're not carrying it anywhere. That's the season. It's divinely ordered. Yes, it's divine order. Steal all you want, but the money is not leaving these shores. And when God wanted to do it, he just called the Americans, called the Europeans. They said, don't mind these Africans. They like to steal too much. Make stealing unattractive. That's it. That's it. That's it. You can imagine, with all the billions, this man can't go anywhere. Any country you step into, they will arrest you and send you to a dangerous country. I'm telling that story to let you know about seasons. There was a season in which you took $10 billion from Nigeria. The Swiss man will welcome you, greet you very well, keep the money for you, and swear over the life of his children that he will never tell anybody that you kept money with him. You know, God said, there are people who used to tell God like that, that we have made a covenant with death. You can never catch us. God said, I will break your agreement with death. God went to Switzerland and kicked them like this. He said, sorry, this is their name. These are their names. Now, them this. Seasons. The Bible says that times and seasons are in his hands. That's what we're dealing with. He changes kings. Look, listen. That's what is going on. You wake up one day in Nigeria, they will tell you rig election, you'll be afraid. They'll say rig election, you'll be afraid. Listen, a time is coming shortly. In fact, it has begun. Now, the first level now is that you steal money in Nigeria, it stays in Nigeria. Next level, you steal it at all, you're in trouble. There are many things that God is doing. Plenty. Plenty. See, I said something to you all last time, that God is great. That he created the heavens and the earth. That means he's not in the heavens, he's not in the earth. If you can create something, you are not there. His name is everlasting. His name is what? Everlasting. From everlasting, he's always been there. And then at a point in everlasting, he created the heavens and the earth. And I was saying to you that there is a reason for it. I don't know the details, but there's a reason for it. One thing I know is that he wants to judge evil so that the whole of the heavens, the whole of created beings and beings that have been existing, they will know that evil is bad. There are two sides to God. There's a side in which he knows what is wrong. He knows. He will tell you this is wrong. There's a second side to God in which he will explain and demonstrate through experience that this is wrong and you must get the point. It's what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. I believe very strongly. I'm not saying I know everything. One of the reasons why he created this current heavens and this earth is to prove that evil is bad. And for him to prove that evil is bad, he must allow evil to thrive. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. When doctors want to cure dangerous diseases, they give you a small portion of it and allow it to thrive small. Then you build up a wicked resistance against the real thing. That's the principle of vaccination. You see oral polio that they go around giving. The thing is live. The virus is alive. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what God is doing. Before he judged Nebuchadnezzar, he allowed him to reach his peak. He didn't judge Nebuchadnezzar when he was struggling. Build up. Oh yeah. The tree was great. Ah! The guy would look one day and say, I don't come far. I don't try. Is this not Babylon the Great? Which I built with the strength of my might. For the glory of my own majesty, oh boy, may not hail me, I don't try. That was when God said, yes, this is the type I like. At this point, we will now cut you down. We won't cut you down when nobody will notice. You know, when God wanted to judge communism, I was reading Age of Turbulence by Alan Greenspan. They did not even know how bad things were in the communist countries. That's people outside. They didn't know how more advanced than East Germany, West Germany was. Outside, they were all making us feeling very tough, feeling very strong. Russia built up such a great arsenal of nuclear power. God was looking. Build now. Wait. They gave scholarship to one black man who was going to build the biggest white church in Europe. They did not know. Sonia Delaja. They gave him scholarship. That's what I've told you. They said, when Muslims start universities, go there. Don't be afraid. Medicine is medicine. Whether it is taught by Anglicans, Baptists, Catholics, or Muslims. Mitochondria is mitochondria. They can shout Allahu Akbar on his name, he's mitochondria. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? People say, Muslims are planning to come and build university. Be happy. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That oil money, come and use it too. People say that, I won't use it, it's a lot. Buy their line. Why they could give you the line at 1500 minutes? Because they have oil. But that like brought out oil money. Don't be angry. Bible says, strangers will build your walls. Strangers will nurse your children. Don't be afraid. You can't Islamize my son. There's a cord of the spirit that used to hook him to the Holy Spirit. If I send him to your school, you can't Islamize him. The imam will give his life to Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many of you went to Catholic schools? Are you Catholics today? No, do you follow my point? Doesn't mean anything. You say, Muslims are planning to build university in Enugu. Pray for them. Give them land. It's not university. When they do engineering, look, have you ever noticed that when you make your phone call, whether it's Etisalat or MTN, they sound the same. You don't hear, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, at the background of it, unless you load it as ringtone. There are times you call Etisalat line, you know, through Etisalat, you call an MTN line, you hear, Nigeria, evil men will not rule you anymore. In the name of Jesus. Did the line cut? Because it's Etisalat. If Muslims open university in Enugu, they are teaching communication engineering, go there. Don't be afraid. What am I saying? That was how communism blossomed at its peak. One man just woke up one day and tried to regularize things a bit. And the prophecy that Kenneth Copeland gave years before came to pass, communism was broken up to pieces overnight. Pa, 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 pa. Before the news was happening, boom, there was no trouble again. Poland, style like Tunisia, kicked out the communist regime. Kicked them out. Before you knew what's happening, that was the end of communism. They were judged at when people looking from outside thought they were at their peak. They were strong. And please listen to me. This one they practice in China is not communism. They have their own religion, which will also be judged in due season. Hey, I hope you are following what I'm saying. The whole earth must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. It must happen. Anybody that stands as an obstruction will be judged. They will be judged. That is a matter of fact. God has his agenda. His son, Jesus Christ, is being exalted. Are you getting my point? He's being exalted. Evil is being judged. Let's leave that. Let's sit down on this again. Evil is being judged on this earth to show that evil is evil. That's why it has to blossom a bit. Are you following my point? That's why it will blossom a bit. Let it blossom a bit. Then when it has blossomed and is strong and is big, then, boom, overnight, it's gone. Why? God has to show that he did it. America can't tell you that they brought down communism. They fought and fought. The fight in Angola was a fight over communism. I hope you know. The fight in Vietnam was a fight over communism. Americans, they saw themselves as the defenders of capitalism, which is good. North Korea, that's Korea, then the Korean Peninsula. They fought and fought. Finally, what they managed to do was to divide the line, the DMZ, dividing the north from the south. Everybody tired. They tired to the fight. Communism tired to fight. You know what they were trying? The communists were trying to do was to hit soft targets. Some people say that the assassination of let me not mention it. Some of our past leaders. It was part of the CIA versus communist fight. That's how a head of state in Nigeria just disappeared overnight. Boom, somebody just shot him and died. All kinds of gist. All the stories in Angola, it's all communism versus, free world. Then one day God said, enough. Once he said enough, Once he said enough. Once he said enough. Are you hearing me? All the outposts that were fighting, stop fighting. There was nothing to fight over again. The main point dissolved, disappeared. Communism ended. When we are finished, when God has shown to all of us, even we pastors, we need to know that money is not everything. When God has finished showing us how bad it is, then he will judge corruption in this country. And the day he will do it, you'll be surprised. All the fight over the thing. One day, we'll just wake up and that's it. The thing has ended. You see, if you came to Nigeria last year, between here and Lagos, you would not roger police 50 times. But now, all the policemen are saluting you. And they are wishing you a good journey. What happened? Are you getting my point? What happened is that the appointed time came. Are you getting my point? I've said all of this to bring out that issue. That God has an appointed season for everything. He has an appointed season for everything. He does. He does. I said there are two sides to it. He has his general agenda. You know, I was looking at my Bible the other time. There are times the Lord Jesus will say things like, these things must take place before this one. He said, these things, they're talking about the end of the times. These things must happen, but the end has not yet come. Then this one must happen. The angel looked at John and said, come, let me show you things that must take place. There are things that must take place. Not everything you can pray out of place. It's not everything. When judgment was going to come on Jerusalem, you know what Jesus told his people, his disciples, to pray about? He said, pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath day and will not be during winter. But you can't pray that I won't judge Jerusalem. No, that one, you can't pray that one. You can't pray that one. God has his appointed time. He has his appointed seasons. Now, that's the first point I wanted to make. The next one I started also is to let us bring, is to let us bear in mind again that they don't depend on us. Primarily, no, they don't. What we are doing as people is to fit into divine agenda. Are you getting my point? But it's the second side I want to bring out down. In your life also, please, this is the one we're going to spend a lot of time on. In your life also, there's an appointed time. There's an appointed season. Let me define the word time again. There are two ways to look at time. Two ways. Actually, using the Greek, all right? The Greek man clearly distinguishes between time as measuring days and years and minutes and seconds and stuff like that. It distinguishes between that and measuring time as in seasons. Do you get my point? Yes, it's very clear. Time as in days and years is not what is important with God. That's why he said a day with God is like 1,000 years. That's what they call chronos in Greek. The other one is kairos, which has to do with seasons. Are you getting my point? It has to do with seasons. And just like Solomon said, there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. The time to reap never comes before the time to sow. I hope you have noticed that. Even there's an appropriate time for everything. The time to reap never comes before the time to sow. In the same manner in your life, God has ordered his seasons. He has. He has. There's a scripture I should put in. Let's go back to that. Revelation chapter. Sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're reading. God has ordered the seasons. And Solomon was telling us from observing it that the seasons of your life, you don't bring them to pass by your own struggles. Let me add my own words. Time and chance, Solomon said, overtakes them. In my own words, all you can do is to cooperate with the seasons of your life. I did a series on radio then titled, we still have them on CDs, Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. I think you should listen to it. Because life has seasons. It has seasons. It has seasons. What you can do is to cooperate with each season in your life. Let me quickly say something also. So many things to say quickly. Right? What I want to say quickly is this. Anytime I'm preaching, I keep on saying something. I'm talking to believers. God has planned your life as a Christian, but you can choose as an individual to walk out of God's plan. And the things I'm saying will not appear as if they are not true. Not because they are not true in themselves, but because somebody chose to walk out of God's plan. Are you getting my point? For example, there are times that God keeps people, all right, in a restrained area. They are in darkness, like he said through Isaiah. He said, but then they now start struggling. And they start saying, no, we don't like this darkness. We'll light our own candles. All right? We'll kindle our own fires. God said, if you do that, you initially get results. But at the end, this you will receive from my hands. You will lie down in torment. There was never a season planned by God for his children to end in torment. He said, but in the early stages, there are times I put them in a restricted area. But when they don't like restriction, they force themselves out of the place. Then they go initially into abundant prosperity. Are you getting my point? He said, but that way they set themselves up for an eventual end, which is called lying down in torment. Are you getting what I'm saying? We must be careful as believers, all right? That we follow the seasons of God in our life. Let's put that one in, all right? Briefly. Now, let me sit on this issue of your life and God. God also has planned your life. He has planned the seasons of your life. There was something that Solomon said. Let's quickly read it. That Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 9. He said, now, if everything we have said is true, that God has planned our seasons, what profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? He said, I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in his time. Now, notice this. What Solomon was saying is that this is a task God has given men to occupy themselves. Even though he has made everything to manifest in a season, he said he also has set eternity in their heart. He said they don't fully understand this. For that reason, all right, he said, yet so that men will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning. He said, because they don't understand this, they are occupied daily. Now, listen to this. With toil. Please, let me try. Just look at me. I'll try and explain it. People don't understand. Do you follow my point? That God has set a season. Therefore, they are trying to bring forth the next season, and then they are very busy today trying to bring forth the next season. I don't know where you get what I'm saying. Now, this you have to be careful in following what I'm saying because it's so easy to misunderstand. I'm not saying Christians don't plan or they are not or they must be lazy. They should be lazy. No, I'm not saying that. I'll explain what I'm saying in a moment. Now, when a new season comes, people, I said, look, be careful when you are reading books, so not reading by God. Know what I mean by that? Your scriptures is written by God, amen? Many other books are not written by God, even though they have good things inside them. I've read a lot of good books by good Christians, and I don't believe the thing inside. You know why? Not because the man is lying, but because the Bible says he himself does not know how. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can you remember Robert Kiyosaki? I quoted him a lot of times. Robert Kiyosaki believes so much in real estate. But over the last few years, you saw what happened to real estate in America. Do you get what I'm saying? There's no material way by which you can succeed permanently in life. There's none. Mistakes people make, they try to follow everything somebody is saying because they think that's the way he got into the season of breakthrough. As believers, God says it's not so. By faith, we understand that the seasons of his life were set. So that season was not compulsorily a product of the one we saw before it. I don't know what I get my point. That what God does is that he occupies them in each season with assignments so that they won't understand how the next season is coming. Oh God, I pray you will get what I'm saying. And this is what God does. In each season, he gives you an assignment to occupy you. And you must be occupied. Because if you pry too much into the next season, you don't even allow it to come. So what he does is that he distracts you from focusing too much on that one so that you don't spoil it. How does he do it? He keeps you busy. He says, occupy with this until I come. When I come, I hand you cities. You don't fight for them. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me tell you something. There's nothing you can ever desire as a believer that he has not planned something bigger than that. Especially when you have winned your heart. You know, the world can give you agenda. You know that? I mean, Bishop was with me in Israel. When we went to preach, I went to preach in full gospel during the week. He said, I should preach on. Bishop, what's it again? Discovering your ministry. Thank you. And I said, there's a ministry of God and there's a ministry of the world. You know, ministry of the world? You must buy a car, you must build a house, one in the village, one in Enugu. You know what I'm saying? You must do this. That's the ministry of the world. You must do. It's an assignment. Every one they are giving you money, that's the first thing you plot for. Everything, yeah, you must. As a man, as a woman, you must. That's the ministry of the world. Should Christians have homes? Yes. Should they have cars? Yes. They want 10 houses. Should they have it? If they want it, no problem. But how do they get it? They are added unto them. What do you mean added? They don't struggle for it. A time comes. The Bible says when the crop permits, they put in the sickle because the harvest has come. As a Christian, just know when your harvest has come and you collect it. Anything you have to struggle and break your head over, the harvest has not yet come. So there's a ministry of the world. That's what I'm saying. So people oftentimes they are occupied with the ministry of the world. But when a man focuses on the ministry of God, that's what I'm talking about. What God does is that he takes him from one season into the next according to divine appointment, not by human struggles. So what the person does in each season is he occupies each season until God opens the door for the next. Are you getting what I'm saying? I was saying that there's nothing you want to ever imagine that God has not planned something bigger than that for you. As long as you're not following the ministry of the world. That's what I was saying by that. And listen, for that reason, anything you can dream of. Listen to me. Anything you can conceive, having rejected the ministry of the world. Hear me, saints of God, it has an appointed time. And in its season, it will come to pass whether you struggle for it or not. I said struggle for it or not. There are those who struggle for it and it still comes. Because since they are struggling for it, do you get my point? They walk totally in righteousness and God continues their life with frustration. You didn't hear what I said properly. They were struggling, God was frustrating them. But because they continually walked in righteousness, in due season, he still gave it to them. Are you getting my point? Those are the ones that cause confusions in the life of Christians. They start testifying. Oh, I suffered. I suffer. There are times we went without food for 4 years. God said, it was me frustrating you so that you will not think that it's your arm that brought this one to be. If you had not struggled, you would have had food for those 4 years. This thing would still have happened. I don't know whether you got what I said there. God knows the vex. No one said no the vex. If you are a child of God walking in righteousness, make mistake, he knows how to. As they run, you do leg like this, you will fall down. Boy, I say, sorry, though. Get up. Sit down. Say, I know they sit down. Oh, they go, I won't run. Okay. Begin run again. Bam, you fall down. You will keep falling. You'll be going around in circles. You know? Going around in circles and falling. Finally, the season will appear. The door will open. Then those who don't know God will now say, ha, I continue to fall and to rise. And I was going around the circles. Finally, the season came. Brethren, don't stop going around the circles. Keep on falling and keep rising. God said, look at this guy. He was falling because he wouldn't sit down. I told him to sit. He kept on falling. I gave him a small job. And I said, occupy with this job until I come. He has started 10 businesses. Everyone failed. Some, I said, this is a small business. Do it and let it grow. He has applied in jobs 20 different places. And he kept failing. Finally, going around in circles, the season arrived that I wanted him to wait for in that job. I don't know whether you get what I say. I wanted him to wait for a season in that job. Well, The season has come. Let's move him into that season. He's a good guy. He's just confused, but he's a good guy. Then he starts testifying. Hallelujah. Don't ever stop writing those applications. Because I wrote 20. God said, I didn't want you to write any. I said, you just sit down here. And start testifying. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Write one application. Write the next. Don't give up. Keep writing. One may fail. Second one may fail. The third one may fail. God said, those 25 failed because I said they must fail. Because if anyone succeeded, you will walk out of where I wanted that appointed season to meet you. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
listen, the main message I want to pass across to you today, as I leave, I said there are two things. There's God's general agenda. That's not our main focus. All right? I just want to introduce something about the power of God. But for you to know that when God called you, he set seasons in your life. There's an appointed season for everything. And I said, once you have removed the ministry of the world, are you hearing me? And you are following the ministry of God, there is nothing you can ever imagine that God is not going to bring into your life in its due season. In his due what? Season. In his appointed time. He said, once you have that vision, write it down. It has an appointed time. Even though it tarries, don't be worried. Because eventually it will come. And in its season, it will not delay. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's why, even as a preacher, I know T.D. Jakes, I like to tell this story. Two stories I like to tell. One is T.D. Jakes, the other is, what's the name of this, our brother? Ron Kenoly. I like telling those stories. Ron Kenoly wanted, I mean, you know his music. He's a musician. He wanted to sing praises to God. After I gave his life to Christ, so many things in his life, he went for Bible school. After that, he joined the church and took up the appointment as what they call a music pastor. Are you getting my point? Now, as a music pastor, all he did was take care of the choir, lead praise worship on Sunday. But he wanted to sing. Do you get my point? So he kept on writing letters to recording companies. He would send his demo tapes, sing, you know, send to them, and all of them replied, all of them replied, we are not interested in new artists in this season. In this our appointed time, your time is now appointed with us. Are you getting what I'm saying? All of them replied, every single one. There was a reply he got that finally frustrated him. That is, I don't know whether it's the 5th or the 6th or the 7th. But that day, the Holy Spirit finally got across to him. Listen, I told you, the major problem God has with us is to persuade us to just relax. So sometimes he has to frustrate you until you forcefully relax out of frustration. There are two kinds of relaxations. There's one out of understanding. There's one out of frustration. You are tired. Even you give up. God said, good. We lock you in jail. You start negotiating. Like Joseph. No be me. Na lie. No be me. No be me. You start negotiating. Out of frustration, this brother gave up. That day, he entered into the church. Said, God, nobody wants to listen to me. There's one person that can't run. Now you. You will listen to me by force today. So he sat down on the piano and began to play. He said he played and played and sang and sang. And he kept on singing. He sang until he was exhausted. He left the piano and fell on the floor. And continued to sing there. When he finished, he got up and told God, I'm not writing anybody any letter again. Thank you very much. He now began to occupy. As a music pastor, he now began to what? Occupy. So one day, Don Moen walked into the service. Just to attend church, you know, like everybody else. And who was leading praise worship? The music pastor. I will come into your presence, Lord. I don't know whether that's the song he sang, but you know what I'm saying. But the church was just going, ah! And this man looked and said, my God, this is anointing. At the end of the service, he went, shook his hand. Hello, I'm Don Moen. Oh, where is Michael Kuma, one of the two of them, I'm sure. And said, I'm one of the executive directors of Hosanna Music. I wanted to pray about recording an album with us. He didn't write anybody. I heard the testimonies from his mouth directly when he came to Lagos then. He said, that was one thing I never had to pray about. Pray about what? The vision is for an appointed time. When the appointed time came, I mean, what are we praying about again? Listen, the second album he released with them became the best-selling praise and worship album ever. Now, the name Ron Kenoly, if you see a new album by Ron Kenoly, you buy it first before you know whether it's good or it's not good. No, so. Appointed time. There is a time appointed. I discovered that and I believe it very strongly. In each season, please go and listen to our two messages on how to wait for God. I have about three of them. How to wait for God. Waiting for God. It's important. Because waiting for God does not mean we are not doing anything. He said, in this season, I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men to occupy themselves. Listen, that's why Solomon said, because the season is going to come with or without them. He said, that's why there's nothing better than in whichever season they are in, they learn to rejoice and do good and to enjoy the work of that labor for that season. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. That is, there's nothing like, hey, I'm struggling now, I'm suffering now, so that tomorrow. No. God says, in this season, settle down, scheme to be okay. What are you hearing? Hey, that your suffering now is not what is bringing the season that's coming to pass. It's not. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, that's why you have to be careful when you are following principles in this world. There are people that God said, stop saving that money. Listen, sufficient unto the day. Please, I told you, following God will make you do things that are out of, you know, secular order. I told a man came to me once. He said, if you contribute 500 naira a month towards this insurance, this thing, at the end of so and so years, we'll give you, I think he said 15 years, I was going to get 150,000 naira or so. I said, oh, but my salary currently is 6,000 naira. 6,000 naira. 6,000 naira. What did I say? I should give you 500 naira. He said, it's an investment for the future. I said, listen, my friend, in 15 years' time, that money is going to be changed. Sufficient unto the day, I told him, is the evil thereof. 500 naira at that time, I told him simply, will be worth more, was worth more than what 10,000 will be in that 15 years. And it's just, it's hardly, the story I'm telling you was in 1995, 96. What year are we now? This is 16 years after. Is that not so? The man said, you give me 150,000 in 15 years. If I decide to buy two brand new tires for my car, I'm not lying to you, each one costs 75,000 15 years after. I would have felt like a fool if I gave him my 500 naira of those days to collect the price of two tires in 15 years' time. See, divine principles there. You have to be careful. But the season will come in which God says, no, I have given you plenty of money. Don't eat everything. Keep this aside so that I will use this for... Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can't make a rule. You must put money aside. You never can tell in case of the future. Solomon said, it is good and crucial that you are satisfied and you enjoy yourself in this season. You know, God has blessed me, amen? But I don't mean financially. I mean with faith. Men who earn twice what I earn don't live half as comfortably as I do. And I'm not lying about it. I'm not lying about it. Do you know why? Because there's something they don't know that I know. And that life has appointed times. There are prayers I don't even pray because the time I know is not yet right. There are prayers I don't pray. I need the season is not yet. You know, I told you that Omega Channel, they are still advertising. Yes, this morning we're saying Galaxy something. 400 million viewers all over America. This and this. And, listen, the money they are asking for is not more than we are paying DSTV people. Are you getting my point? So my wife said, Pastor, don't you want to preach to Americans? I said, I have nothing to tell them yet. If you give us 10 million naira cash now, I will not pay to be on Galaxy covering from southern Canada down to the whole of Mexico. I said simply, I am not interested. I don't pray about it. The season has not, the vision may be there, but I said it's for what? An appointed time. And I don't perceive that the appointed time is now. Why do I live comfortably than most of those people? It is simple. There are things that drain their funds that don't drain mine. Simply because I know that the appointed time has not come. One day, one of my seniors saw me. He said, "Ah, you know, they like this, your cow. Come now, talk to me now. This job is what both of us do. How do you manage?" One of my colleagues in the office. I said something to him. I said, "Sir, I'm not building a house." He said, "My brother, not true." He said, 6 years, my brother, 6 years. Next time I saw him, he had learned the lesson. He told me that he got tired. Seeing driving one old punkereke, I said, "Oh God, you're on your own. I'm not with you. I'm building my house in 12 months. I've told you, I've not started it. I don't know when I will. But as God lives, it's 12 months. January to December. For the abundance of prosperity." Why? Because he said, "Behold, in each appointed time, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream." Anything God doesn't give me easily now, he doesn't want me to do yet. "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." A lot of reasons, the major reason why a lot of people are in distress is because they are carrying a vision and forcefully trying to execute it today when God said, "Just write it down. Just write it down. Just write it down. Just write it down." You know, I was sharing something with them in that full gospel 2 days ago. I said, you know, recently, that was the day before that I was driving. There's something my wife and I do it. My wife listens. I just tell my wife, I say, if the Lord just gave me 200 million naira, what would I do with it? And she said, "Yeah, Pastor, tell me." I was saying, you know now, I will do that. As I was driving down around that presidential, as I was turning from Presidential Road into Rangers, as I was turning in, around that traffic light, one thought came to my mind. Okay, if I gave you 200 million naira now, what will you do? Fine. So, now that I have not given you 200 million, it is impossible, Shay. I got the point. It is not impossible. I just need to ask for it. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. 200 million naira is not God. Anything that 200 million naira can do, God can double do. So the reason why I don't have it or I'm not executing it is not because I don't have 200 million, but because it is not the appointed time. Therefore, I said, I'm not playing that joke again. Anything I want, and all those dreams, you understand? They are for what? Appointed time. So if they come, I write them down. I'm going to soon give Bishop a job. We'll sit down. You know, he's an architect. This is the kind of house I want to live in. Draw it. Just draw it. Then we'll print it. It's for an appointed what? Time. Then we'll put it in the file. I don't mean that we'll sit down there and be looking at it. How I call it to be. You will come forth. I pull you out of this paper onto the earth. Those are acts of... Let me not stop talk. They are acts of unbelief. I know you think they are acts of faith. They are not. You are preoccupied. with things that are not for the season, when you are supposed to occupy with this. So if you want a house that has 10 rooms, 3 sitting rooms, a big courtyard at the back, and all of that, fine. Draw it. Keep it there. Then turn to the small house you have with 2 bedrooms, a half kitchen, and a half sitting room. And nice it up so well that kings will want to sleep there. Don't spend your day dreaming of what that house will look like when the one you have here, your friends don't want to enter. Because it is dirty, it is filthy. They have nowhere comfortable to stay when they come. And you are dreaming, when I have 10 rooms in that house, all of you are going to come that time. The reason why they are not coming now is that this one you have is not, it doesn't welcome them. Why? You spend all your time, you wake up in the morning, my room number one. I speak to you. Your curtain shall be lilac. And turquoise shall be the color of your carpet. I speak to you. I call you to be. Your door shall be of mahogany. Listen, I don't care what you say. That's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. Believe me. It's not Christianity. The Bible says you will live in houses you did not build. You know, there are better houses than you have imagined. You know, they are out there. Some of them God has built for you. There are things you will not see until you enter into your own house and you find it is there. You will have to ask the architect, what is this? He will tell you what it does. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or even think. Let me summarize it. I want to go. I don't like to overshoot time. This is the point I'm making. Your life has seasons. And the thing you are dreaming of is inferior to what God will do. Once you have cleaned your mind away from the ministry of the world, are you getting my point? Forget about being called the 10th richest man in America or in Nigeria, Africa. It's not the issue. Listen, all those so-called valuation of riches, there are some truths in them. What I mean by truth in them is this. It's just the amount of responsibility a man is carrying. It's not the amount of money he has to spend. I hope you understand what I'm saying. They tell you that Dangote is worth, is it 12 billion, 16 billion, they said. It's not the amount of money he has to spend. It's the amount of salaries he has to pay. I hope you get what I'm saying. So, look. Anything you can imagine, you're not competing with Dangote. But if you have dreams, one day they will value your dreams and say $600 million. I don't know. God bless you for saying that. Amen. I said one day they it's not your business. One day this man, Paul Getty, JP Getty, then richest man in the world, said the day he found out he was the richest man in the world was the day he bought a newspaper. He just picked up a paper and looked at it. He saw his face on the cover, richest man in the world. That's where I get money. As far as I was concerned, he said I was just doing business. They said I was the richest man in the world. I did not know. Are you following my point? Whatever it is you can dream of, that vision is for what? An appointed time. And what appointed time means is that the time is appointed. And when that time reaches, it will come. Until that time, you occupy this season. And make sure you find joy and gladness in it. Any job you are doing, and it is just you are just grumbling and complaining, you don't like it at all, leave it. Find the one you like. I'm not saying the one that pays more. Some people, they are joy and complaining, or you know, they are grumbling is because of, you know, the money is not much. It's a good job, but they just the money is not much, so they whine and complain. That is the ministry of the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you find the one you like to do, and you are glad, and you are doing it, and you are happy. Listen to me. One day, your own domain will also walk in. I told the story of the other day. Tunde Bakari was saying that, God, if you bless me, this is what we like to do. And the man of God prayed for him. And the following week, they sacked him. And he said, what? He went and told the pastor, Ogasio, last week I told the Lord I will serve him properly if he blessed me financially. This week he rewarded me with a sack. And the pastor laughed. And he said, what is so funny? The man said, the kind of plans you have, they don't pay those things as salaries. The Lord just sacked you into liberty. Now you have the freedom to be blessed. Before there was any 700 naira a month. This was many years ago. A few weeks down the line, he started his private practice. The first brief they paid him for, they paid him 25,000 naira. 3 years' salary was paid to him once. Because the appointed time had come. How many of you have heard of Skoda? Skoda. Tunde Bakare brought Skoda into Nigeria. No, I'm telling you. So, when the season came, do you follow my point? It's not struggles. Your season will come. Like I told that young man that time, I said, my crucial issue is I must not die before my season. The word that it will not come, forget that one. That was settled before I married my wife. Well, not that I knew the season will come, I wouldn't have married her, because I would have lied to her. And I did not lie. Now, I used to tell God, if you don't want to bless me, just let me know early. I won't marry, I promise you. I won't punish any woman, I won't punish any children. I will go into the wilderness, locust, wild honey. Any goat that crosses my path, I kill it, remove his skin, tie on a wrapper. As I have no problem with it too, just make sure you let me know. Once you give me a wife, no. I must be blessed. And he gave me a wife, he gave me children. Do I need to tell you again that I am blessed? Season. Tell your neighbor, season. Say, appointed time. It's coming. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads to pray then. Say, Father, we give you thanks.